Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1 with It's for Women. The car insurance with extra benefits like personal accident cover.
With 250 million record sales worldwide, Sir Rod Stewart is one of the best-selling artists in the history of recorded music, one of the few stars to enjoy chart-topping albums throughout every decade of his career. He's just released his 31st studio album, The Tears of Hercules. In a moment, I'm going to chat to him just after we hear the first single taken from the album. This is One More Time.
It's not the color of your hair or the beauty in your eyes that I'll be missing. Oh, the sunshine in your smile, or those ruby red lips I've been kissing. Now your family don't like me, this I understand. I don't want to settle down, I'm just a rambling man. I'd rather be out rocking with my good old country band. Yes, I would. But listen, baby, it was great while it lasted.
Oh, yeah.
And together we smashed it.
Oh, yeah.
There's just for one more thing to do.
Oh, yeah.
I know that I can keep a secret, baby, can you too?
One more time, baby, one more time, baby, one more time, just for old time's sake. One more time, baby, one more time, baby, one more time, just for old time's sake.
Separate and find somebody new. It's hard to imagine somebody else with you. You taught me how to nasty in those naughty high heel shoes. The devil wears Prada. We were lovers for a while, but it all came crashing down. The test was immense by good old country mile. Make no mistake, you'll always be on the speed dial. Oh yeah. It was great while it lasted.
Oh, yeah.
And together we smashed it.
Oh, yeah.
There's only one more thing to do.
Oh, yeah.
I know that I can keep a secret, baby, can you too?
One more time, baby, one more time, baby, one more time, just for old time's sake. One more time, baby, one more time.
Stay together forever, forever. So it's upon the edge, farewell. While I'm roaring down to Woodstock in my beat-up Jaguar, there's no regrets or sadness, but maybe we should've known better. We should've known better, baby. It was great while it lasted.
Rod Stewart, good morning and welcome to the programme.
Good morning there, good morning.
Listen, that single, One More Time, what inspired it? I was reading you drew it from your love life to a certain extent.
No, well, I've never actually done that sort of thing. You know, there's nothing wrong with it. You're not breaking the law. But I know a lot of my friends have, you know, that one more time just for the road business.
What is it about, Rod? What is the story of the song, then?
Okay, well, it's about a couple that are breaking up. The guy's girlfriend's parents don't particularly like him. And I think they were both sort of in it for the sex. So, you know, it's like, well, before we break up, should we just have sex one more time? To put it quite bluntly, that's what the song's about.
Looks like you had a lot of fun making the video.
Oh, we did. I mean, it's not many people had Buckingham Palace as a backdrop. I mean, I can't think of another video that has that.
It's your 31st studio album, which actually is incredible. Does it astonish you yourself to think you've arrived at this point in your career?
Not really. I never think about it. You know, it's I know one thing. I'm enjoying making albums now than more than I used to, because in the old days you'd be locked into studio, a dark, dank studio for months on end and not get anything. And it would be very expensive. But now, you know, in this computerized age, it's a lot easier. I mean, you can get albums done so much quicker and in nice circumstances as well, where the sun's shining if you want to be in your garden.
Tears of
Hercules. It was all done in lockdown anyway.
Tears of Hercules, where did the title come from?
It's, you know, A Grown Man Can Cry, to put it in a nutshell. It's a song on the album. And also here, it's I've just found out reading in the papers this morning, it's Elton John's middle name. I never knew that.
So did you spend much of lockdown working on this? Did you find that made lockdown easier because you could work on this album?
Yeah, a lot easier. I wouldn't say it wasn't an all-day thing or an all-week thing. You know, I'd write songs when I felt like it, because you obviously can't push that. You know, you either feel like writing a song or you don't. But no, lockdown, you know, was like everybody else. I spent a lot of time with all my children. I've got 8 of them all together. And working on my hobbies and making my music and keeping myself fit. I also had a new knee replacement, which fitted in nicely because I had, you know, there was so much time off. I thought I'd get it done. So lockdown has been, for me, very lucky, successful.
And you swim a lot, don't you? I was listening to you talk to another interviewer and you were talking about how you swim. You dive to the bottom of the pool to get stuff.
Yeah, it's SAS training, I do believe, or so I've been told. You have these plastic bricks and you throw them in the shallow end and you've got to push it all the way on the bottom, all the way up to the other end. And my pool is about 20 metres long, so it's a big pool. It's an indoor pool. I'm very lucky to have it. But it's, you know, as I said, Frank Sinatra once said to me, you know, swimming is the best thing you can do, holding your breath, you know, because you use your diaphragm a lot when you sing. So, and holding your breath and expanding your lungs.
It's something else my producer and myself noticed. Your voice is still really good. How do you maintain your voice, actually?
I look after it like it's the crown jewels. You know, I won't sing unless I warm up. And when I have sung, I warm down. Plenty of sleep, plenty of water. You know, it's like being an athlete. The older you get, you've really got to look after your assets more. So I really try and get as much sleep as I can at night. No partying. Well, sometimes, you know, if I've got a couple of days off, I might go out and boogie.
One More Time, of course, is the first single. But I think Touchline... Is that your favourite track from the new album? It's dedicated
to
your dad.
Oh, yeah, it
really is. Tell me about it.
Yeah. Well, the Stuarts, as everybody knows, I'm a big Celtic supporter and I love football. I've done all my life, played all my life. But the song is about, I remember myself and my two brothers, we were all playing in the same team once called Highgate Red Wing. And my dad would pick the team and sometimes he would leave us out. But he was always on the touchline shouting encouragement and abuse. And in the pouring rain, in the snow and the fog and the sun, he was always there. And I find myself doing exactly the same thing for my kids, my boys. You know, I've got 4 boys and I'm always on the touchline and I'm hoping that they'll do the same for their boys. It's like passing down a mantle. But it's a wonderful tribute to my dad. I love him dearly.
Yeah, he sounds wonderful. For this interview, I was reading up on him, and he worked as an air raid precautions officer, didn't he, during World War II, which was like very brave.
Yeah, it was called DARP, so, you know, he would go out because he was a bit too old to join the army, so he went into the ARP, and they would go out after an air raid, and, you know, he used to tell me stories. He'd go to hospital picking up the dead babies, and so a gruesome job, but yeah, he did his bit.
And the music talent, was that from your dad or your mum, Elsie?
Well, we've all the Stuarts, I think, considered themselves to be fair singers. My brother, big brother Don, still thinks he's a better singer than me. But yeah, I think it was passed down to everybody. You know, there was always sing songs going at the house and big parties when I was, you know, like 9 or 10. And so everybody was sang.
Your album, the new one, it also includes covers from Johnny Cash as well as Mark Jordan. We all hear, of course, in Ireland, love your cover, Rod, of Sean and Frank O'Mara's wonderful song, Grace. Why did you record these particular songs and Grace as well for your new album?
Well, Grace was on the last album, and I first heard the song Scottish Cup Final, where Celtic was, the Green Brigade Celtic supporters were singing it. So then I looked into the history of the song, and then, of course, I went to Dublin and went to the castle, and then I watched the 1916 Uprising documentaries and did a lot of homework on it. So then I thought, well, I must sing this song. I love it. It's never far away from me. Every day when I get up, I'll sing it in my mind. That's how much I love it.
That's so lovely. And you had, obviously, an incredible back catalogue of songs, from the ones everyone's familiar with, You Wear It Well, to Maggie Bay, to Rhythm of My Heart. Is it impossible to choose one song above them all? Is it almost like choosing one favourite child or something? Is there a song?
It's exactly, yeah. It's exactly what it's like. They're all born in my body, you know, in my mind. So they're all my children. So I can't possibly put one above the other.
Did you miss touring during lockdown? I've been interviewing a lot of different singers here, and they were saying some of them didn't miss it and some of them did. What about you?
Oh, man. Has the Pope got a balcony? Of course I did, yeah. Missed it terribly. We're very fortunate that the last show I did was in March, the year before last, Las Vegas. And we have a show coming up now in Budapest, and then we do Vegas again. But we've been rehearsing it and rehearsing for the shows. And on the first rehearsal, we did one song, and I've got six girls in the band. They all burst into tears with happiness. So, yeah, we really are looking forward to getting out there in Vegas.
And in Vegas,
I'll be touring the UK, and that includes Dublin, next year, this time. October, November, December next year, Christmas.
Oh, great, because I was wondering when you might be coming back here. Do you sometimes pinch yourself? I mean, you were the youngest of five, so you're probably quite... Were you a spoiled child? I know you were a very happy childhood.
Well, we didn't have much to spoil me with, really. I think I learned a lot from my older brothers and sisters, and still do, you know, because three of them are still here. They're all in their 90s. So we're a very close-knit family, but they were great. I don't think they spoiled me. No.
Do you pinch yourself sometimes when you realise how, I suppose, successful you have been or how fortunate you have been?
Every morning. Every morning, without a doubt. It's a wonderful story, you know, because we're absolutely overwhelmed. And why me? You know, well, I was a bit older. I was 25.
Was that your Every Picture Tells a Story? That was your breakthrough, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was the one that did it, yeah.
Do you have other young artists that you constantly watch all the time? In other words, you don't stay just listening to the people you grew up with. Do you love new stuff as well?
Yeah. It's always been my reference point, in Muddy Waters and Sam Cooke. But I like the lad Ezra. I like his songs a lot. But otherwise, no, I sort of have a listen to what the kids are listening to, really, or they make me listen to it.
And do they like your music?
No. No, it's, you know, the older ones do, because, you know, I've got a lot of my kids are in their 30s, and one of them's 40. And but the older ones like it, but the young kids, no, the youngest is 10. he just likes the one I did with ASAP Rocky. He thinks that's the best thing ever.
Does he like soccer? Does he like football?
Oh, my God. They're all obsessed with it, yeah. We were all on the sofa watching Celtic last night. It's the one thing that does bring the family together is football and Celtic.
If you had a choice to be a famous footballer who played for Celtic or what you have been, which is incredible singer, songwriter, which would you have preferred?
Without a doubt, singing.
Really?
I would have, I would have been all packed up and finished by now as a footballer, obviously. And I would have been packed up and finished as a manager as well, 76. But I'm still doing it and I'm loving it and I'm full of energy and can't wait to get out of here. And once you lose that zest, that excited feeling about getting out there and playing and making music, then you must pack it in. But it's still there with me.
You said earlier, I was talking to Van Morrison not that long ago, and he was saying that he finds it easier almost now performing and singing. He enjoys it more. Do you feel the same? I think you said that a little while ago, did you?
Yeah, it's a lot easier the older you get, because I suppose, I don't know if I've still got a lot to prove. I've got a lot to prove in the point that, you know, I'm still doing it and delivering. And my voice is better than now it's ever been. It's dropped an octave or two, mm-hmm. but I have more control over it. But, it's a lot easier. People always ask me, say, do you get nervous? I go, no, not really. You know, because they say, oh, my God, I'd poo myself. I had to go and sing in front of 20,000 people. But, you know, I've been doing this all my life. It's absolutely the best, most enjoyable thing you could do.
Do you feel incredibly grateful?
Yes, to everything and everybody.
Why do you think, Rod, apart from obviously your innate voice and your songwriting talent, other people are talented too, and they don't make it, they don't break through? Do you think there's a lot of luck involved, or do you make your own luck in this world?
It was a combination of both, really. I mean, yeah, I agree with you. There's a lot of people I know that have been very talented mm-hmm. players, and they've been overlooked. You know, for instance, my luck was being seen singing on a Twickenham railway station by Long John Baldry. And he came over and said, would you join my band? Simple as that. I was in the right place at the right time. Simple twist of fate.
Was that when you were busking with your harmonica in 1962?
Yeah. That was at Twickenham railway station.
And do you honestly think if maybe Long John hadn't spotted you and made it with, you know, helped you make it, that you might not have made it?
Who knows? I mean, who knows? As I said earlier, I was dedicated to it. It was like a burning feeling in my chest that I wanted to sing for a living.
The entire world has been through lockdown. How did you and your beautiful wife Penny and your family survive that?
Well, you know, we're fortunate. We have a big house and lots of land, and I have hobbies. She has hobbies. It's not like we had to go to work every day on the train or live in an apartment, an apartment with five kids and two rooms. So we were very, very fortunate. But we had a couple of tearful days. You know, I love to socialise. I really miss that side of it. Otherwise, all I can say is we were lucky. We were just very lucky. Didn't enjoy it, you know. Couldn't go down the pub. Couldn't go to football. All my main loves. Otherwise, we were really lucky.
And I gather you're looking at a property here.
I'm buying a flat in Dublin. That's how much I love it.
Wow, good.
In Ballsbridge, near the Aviva.
That's a gorgeous area.
I know. Yeah, I love. That's how much I love Dublin. All right, with that statement, I'll go away.
Well, John, we're delighted you're coming to live with us. Bye, Rod.
Thanks, darling.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's great. Rod's coming to live part-time here in Dublin. And as he mentioned, he's going to be playing Dublin next year. He'll be at the Three Arena on November the 18th. Tickets go on sale tomorrow at 9 a.m, but will no doubt be very hard to come by. We, however, this morning have two tickets to give away for that concert. And to be in with a chance of winning, just answer this question. Which Scottish football club does Rod Stewart support? You can text your answer to 51551 and we'll announce the winner before the end of today's show.